Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm the senior minister of this community, and I'm really happy to be here today. I just want to look at you for a minute. I don't know what is going on, but there's a lot of love here today. A lot, you can feel it, you could hear it. Sue's doing the intro, and you're all still talking amongst yourselves, and she's having a good time. And I looked over at Judy and said, look at him, everybody's alive and happy today. Isn't that a great way to be? We're so blessed. We are so blessed. And it's nice to have the Bradfords back. It's nice to have Judy Baker up here on the pulpit with me. Thank you for coming back from your travels again. So happy to have the Snowbirds returning. And oh my goodness, life is good. Life is so good. You want to make more room for more good? Well, then we got to let go of something. Just sense a theme in the reading and the music. Perfect choice of music this morning. Thank you. We're going to relax. We're going to let go. And we're going to talk today about strategic shedding. Isn't that a great name? I didn't make it up. I read it in a book by one of my favorite ministers that writes spiritual leadership information. His name is Leonard Sweet. And he said this. Anything that grows sheds. And it's always a mixture of that. People go, oh, or they go, of course. So that's what we're going to talk about. Anything that grows sheds. It's a simple statement, and yet, if we're going to examine the spiritual truth and the meaning behind it and the symbolic application, the way all this shedding applies to releasing and letting go and expanding in possibilities for good, what we find is that we're talking about the flow. We're talking about something very sweet and natural. You know, the trees do it, the birds do it, we do it, everybody sheds. You know, the trees drop leaves and the birds molt and lose their feathers, and we shed just about everything. If you care for your own home, if you've ever done any housekeeping, we know that it is a very natural thing to sort of clean up after ourselves, right? And it's a great symbol for life as well. So I want to talk about that age-old spiritual practice of letting go and letting God. Now, in Eastern spirituality, they have a great emphasis on it. It's really at the core of everything they teach, you know, that there's this essence of non-attachment. When we had Timber Hawkeye here, who's an American Buddhist monk, it was difficult for me to be in conversation with him very long, because then you get to that place where, like, he really gets that non-attachment. And there's a piece of me that just goes, no, show me some passion, be attached to something, get excited. But he has worked very hard to develop that. And that's the consciousness that comes from that really intense Eastern look at spirituality. So it's non-attachment. It is about overcoming worldly desires. And so we sort of, in New Thought, we have a different take on that, that we talk about it's important to notice not worldly desires in order to improve them, not like that, because we don't do guilt and shame here. At least we don't do it on purpose. I know I do it sometimes, but I don't intend to. But you sure do respond well when I do it. You say yes when I ask you to do things, and I just put a little bit of in it. You say yes easier. But anyhow, back to the Buddhist idea of non-attachment and desire. What we teach is that we have God-given desires that are always, sort of yearning to be expressed in our life through us, through our own experience of living. So we have a little twist we do on that. You could say it's very Western, actually. It's a very sweet way of looking at the Western view of that. And so in Eastern spirituality, they have this gorgeous idea that if we are less attached to everything, even your agenda for the day, then you can go with the flow a little more easily. So we understand that. We get that. It's part of why I enjoy my own personal spiritual practice. I can lean into it and live with a little more flexibility than the rigidness I would otherwise surround my life with. So it's easy to see why that works in the East and why it's sort of become popular now in the West, in Western spirituality. But we need it because in the West, we're more attached to certainty, right? We like to figure things out. We like to be sure of ourselves. We like to have things in order, right? And in the Buddhists would say, in fact, Timber Hawkeye said to me when I was talking about how much I enjoyed pretty shoes, he said to me, yes, but we would say from a Buddhist perspective that desire and appreciation for pretty shoes also causes you to suffer. And I thought, well, only if you've tried to walk in my shoes would you actually understand the experience of suffering. But anyhow, that happens. And I think that there's something else that we bring from that Western, sort of from the pilgrims and all that proper way we started this country, that, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and be tough and all that. But we also, I don't know why, but it appears to me that we value suffering, that some people even enjoy suffering. You know, if you have a martyr, any little gene of martyrdom in you, you know, then suffering is a good thing. And it's almost like it makes us feel more holy. You know, it's like that Jewish, then it dipped down into Christianity because Christianity came from Judaism. And so we still have that in our consciousness that it's good to suffer. Am I right, Ed? Yes, Elsa, am I right? any other sweet Jewish soul sitting in chairs today? So there's something about that. And then I was thinking how release and let go. Oh, why do I have to sing every Sunday? I don't know. Na, na, da, da, da. I know you're going to, maybe at the talent show you should come one year and make me sing so I can get it out of my system or something. Okay. No judging. Non-judgmental. We're talking a little Eastern today. No prize, no judging. But I was thinking that release is so foreign to us in so many ways that we actually, in New Thought, in religious science, we have the 5 steps to treatment. We had to put it down there all the way at the bottom. It has to be number 5. It's the last thing we do. But I don't think it's because we want to avoid it. I think it's valuable that it's the last step to spiritual mind treatment, the way that at the end of the prayer, we don't say amen, which just sounds like, the end, right? We say, and so it is. Right? So we remind ourselves that there's something that if we affirm powerfully the truth of the prayer, we use our words in a powerful way, that when we release it, we let it go, and it's the let go and let God. And then the trick is to not pick it up again, right? It's so interesting that I can be so grounded, and so it is, and turn around and be driving down the street and notice that old thought just comes right back. But then we self-correct. We do it again, right? We just go, and God is and I am, you know, bam, banish, be gone thought. So we have I don't know. Where do you think I am? We have a tendency to hang on to stuff. I think we can look at our own homes and our lives. I know a couple of congregants are getting ready to move. And when you start packing up your house, you become really aware of how much stuff you have in your house. And we moved here after living in the same house for 25 years. It was stunning, the places I found things and kinds of things I didn't know I had. But we hang on to stuff. I think that, you know who I really admire? You know who I wish I was? The guy that invented storage spaces. I so wish I was the first one to have that idea can you imagine? You buy a piece of property, you just build these crude garages, people pay $100 or more a month to throw their stuff in it, and you and how many storage spaces can you put on a piece of property? That could be a lot of money. And then if something goes wrong and they never come back to get their stuff, you know, you get to sell it. You could be on TV. You could have one of those auction dudes come and take your stuff. Now I understand this whole concept of putting stuff, our excess stuff or the stuff you don't have room for. I mean, let me just tell you, I'm working really hard to say stuff and not something else that my dad used to like to say. But I, you know, if you know me, you know my story that Hugh and I lived a year abroad. We lived in Bangkok and then we lived in Jakarta, Indonesia. And I came home before Hugh. And so there's this, it's weird to go to a foreign country and make home and assimilate to get used to living in a foreign place. It's completely different than what you're used to. But it's even harder to come home and to reassimilate and figure out how to fit now that whole experience into this life that you used to understand and know. And so there's this element of, I came home after living, I had a small kitchen in Jakarta, but it was a small kitchen. We lived basically out of a couple of suitcases for a long time. And we had all of our needs met, and it was simple, and I didn't miss much. I mean, you miss funny things, but that's another talk. And what I can tell you is when I came home, the first thing that happened to me was I opened the refrigerator door and I looked at my kids and said, why do we have so many condiments? Why do we have so many condiments? I was so offended by all our condiments after realizing I could live so long without condiments. And it was strange to try and then put that into some kind of, okay, so I've changed and there's a new me, and now how do I adapt to that? I was offended by that. It took me a long time to quit looking at it, I couldn't understand it. It was a query. So the other thing that happened was the stuff overwhelmed me. The stuff in my life, the physical stuff, it overwhelmed me. And so I had this great idea. Hugh was still out of the country, so I had this great idea to rent a storage space. And I all by myself, I took things, everything I could move and lift and shove in the back of the pickup truck, and I rented a storage space, and I cleaned out the garage. I cleaned out the, do you ever wonder how your linen closet gets so full? And so anyhow, I thinned it all out. I took it out because I had lived without a lot of stuff. I'm going to show myself that I can do it. And I paid for 6 months of a rental fee so I wouldn't have to think about it for 6 months. And you know what I did for 6 months? I worried about my stuff. It was so weird. Every time I drove by the place, I would think, oh, my wedding gown is in there, and my antique dolls are in there, my stuff. I worried about my stuff, and I'm telling you, in the 6 months that I had to reassimilate, I couldn't wait to get my stuff back and fill up my garage again. So it's important for us to realize that we are all, you know, isn't it interesting? We have a focus on hoarding, right? And I don't understand the fascination with it, except that I think if I see something in a picture or on a TV show that it makes me feel like I'm not so bad, it could be a lot worse, right? Plus it scares you into taking care of your stuff. But what I wanna suggest is that we can be mental hoarders. You can hang on to your stuff in your mind, right? You can't rent a space, a storage shed, right? We hang on to the stuff in our mind. Oh, remember when we did that and that happened? I am never doing that again. And you file it away in that permanent place in your mind so you don't end up in that situation again. And then somebody does you wrong. Somebody does you wrong and you put it somewhere in your mind because you don't want that to ever happen again. We are mental hoarders. And we are clogging up the way that our mind thinks. We are allowing stuff to get in the way. So let's talk about strategic shedding, shall we?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Woo! I'm not sure what I'm going to do with the next 10 minutes, but maybe sing. You want to? You know, maybe we could. Yeah. No, sit. Thank you. Strategic shedding. Back to shedding. Yes. Okay. So to shed is to let something go. You know, we shed naturally. We don't have to think about it. Right? Would be good because we'd never let go of any of it. We let go. Things are released. They are cast off. You know, the leaves fall off the trees and it makes way for a season that looks sparse, and then there's a new season. So strategic shedding, I'm thinking that the word strategic implies that there's some participation on my part. There's some planning. There's intention in terms of what I'm going to let go of. So it's natural. It's organic. And when we are consciously shedding, I think sometimes what that means is we just need to get out of the way and let things unfold. Do you ever notice people come and go in our lives? Yeah, in church, 30%, constant change, they say, 30% is the statistic they throw out. So we know we shed. You know, my hair used to be, it's thinned, right? some of the men are doing this. And where I get into trouble is when I compare it to what it used to be. Yeah? Remember how we do that? We do it when we look at other people. I wish I had hair like that or whatever. But we compare our own, how we were to how we are now, and it looks different. And sometimes we have opinions about it. So I was thinking in a sort of clever way, what if we thought about it as strategic aging? What if we looked at this idea of release and let go and let God as just, you know, relaxing into, love this song was so perfect for these words, that relaxing the way we just allow. Part of the strategy is that we get out of the way of that and we quit judging ourselves as not being as handsome as we were or as fit as we used to be. We get out of the way and we recognize there's beauty in accepting what's happening in this part of the flow of our very own lives. See, when we stand in the flow is good. When we stand in the flow, life is easier. It's less complicated. When we aren't attached to things, we live our life in a sweeter way. We don't need to control all the things, all our stuff, but we also lighten up on our the way that we have been controlling in relationships, the way we sort of would like people to be different than they are. You know, oh, honey, don't say that. That embarrasses me when you do that. Or, oh, no, you're fine, just the way you are, when somebody is really trying to tell you their experience. They're just trying to describe an experience they're going through. So when we get out of the way, instead of trying to cheer them up and make them happier, and let them, and it share that moment with them, that experience of loss or change, now we are practicing spiritual compassion. So let's go back to that idea. Anything that grows sheds. Yes? All right. So the question is, are you growing? Because if you are growing, you also need to be shedding or letting go of. It's like in the foundation class in the first week of homework, there's an assignment that says, go home and clean out a closet. Just go home and clean out a closet and see what that feels like. And then what do we know? What happens when you clean out your closet? More stuff. You got more space. But it doesn't last for long because then you fill it up again, right? And so there's this constant movement of life. And we say, we love that quote that says, nature abhors a vacuum. But there's a variation in the Course in Miracles that I like even a little bit more. It says this, for what you leave as vacant God will fill. Isn't that beautiful? For what you leave as vacant, God will fill. Man, this is the truth of our life. This is the way we live. Now, I want to tell you that I focused all of this, the theme of this material, I took from chapters 14 and 15 in the Science of Mind textbook, and those are the two chapters that are not spoken about enough in this movement, and they're the chapters on physical perfection. And it's actually the place in the Science of Mind textbook, reminds me of the Louise Hay book. I noticed that Nancy ordered some of the little booklet ones for the bookstore, probably personal ordered. I'm not saying go buy them. You'll have to talk to Nancy about that. But that this is the place where Ernest Holmes has in the middle of his book, if this is what ails you, here's the way you pray about that. Here are the words of affirmation you use. Here are the ways in which you can change your thinking. And what's beautiful about it is you begin to see a pattern of looking at the ailment to have the truth revealed. So there's wisdom in those two chapters. And I don't know why, but for some odd reason, they're both named physical perfection. And the second one, the follow-up 15 is physical perfection more or something. It's really silly to me that they have different, make it one long chapter, for God's sake. I don't know. But the thing is, in those two chapters, 14 and 15, you will find all the wisdom about the body that you need to guide you through your own life. But better than that, all the wisdom about the body will give you spiritual wisdom about every other aspect of your life. Then the same thing is true when we study prosperity. When we study prosperity, we talk about our overall well-being, but there's a place where you focus on the your relationship to money, where you look at your own attitudes and beliefs around money. And so all of these things, do you notice they take us back to looking at the flow of life? They take us back to release and let go. They take us back to understanding things have to move in life in order to exist. So in chapter 14, there's actually a whole subheading of a conversation Holmes wrote on, it says, healing is clear thinking. Healing is clear thinking. By the way, Louise Hay, many people love her book, You Can Heal Your Body, and there's a big attraction to the middle section of the book, and that's the little booklet I saw Nancy had ordered. In that middle section, you can look up an ailment, and she gives you an affirmation, and so people like that. We use it like, it's cute. We use it like going to a psychic, as if there's information there that's a secret and we don't know. But guess where Louise Hay got that information from? From chapters 14 and 15 of the Science of Mind textbook, right? She was a religious science practitioner. She used that stuff in a way to see her own formulas, and she was very successful then in reproducing it. But don't just look at that. Don't just do that. Don't just look for the cure. You know, look for the bigger wisdom. That would be my ask. Don't think there's no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. Listen to this quote from Dr. Ernest Holmes in one of those chapters, page 232. This is really a good quote. It is necessary that we release the thoughts and the things that clutter our lives. Physical perfection. It is necessary that we release the thoughts and the things that clutter our lives. There is an intelligence and a fearlessness in the organs of our body, in the way that they take that which is necessary for our well-being and then release that which is not needed. There's a message for us in the fearlessness of the organs of our body. Wow, what a sentence. So he's really clearly telling us that this, your body, your physical body is a teaching tool. It helps us to understand the law of reciprocity. Oh, God, I pronounced it properly. That was so cool. It helps us to understand that law. It helps us to understand the natural give and take of the universe. It helps us understand the law of circulation. There would be no harmony in life without such physical laws. Can you imagine life without gravity? I think that this idea of giving and receiving, the law of circulation, is probably the most important thing that we teach. What do you think, Reverend Cheryl? I think it's pretty important. I don't even have to prime her. I don't even have to go whisper to her before the talk and go, hey, when I do this, you should do that. We are in sync. We are girlfriends. Amen. I want to read to you a little more from the, because it was really, I was busy this week. It was too hard to type it all out. So I'm going to read you this great section, page 232 still, Physical Perfection. Dr. Ernest Holmes says, if the organs of the body followed the average tactics of man in his acquisition habits, if the lungs hoarded the air that they take in, if the heart kept the fresh blood stored within its walls, refusing to allow it to circulate, if the stomach retained the food taken in for nourishment, that just gives me a tummy ache. Just, that feels like Thanksgiving right now. What a static condition we would have. But the very reverse is true. Such perfect assimilation, elimination and circulation has never been equaled by man in anything that man has ever invented. Wow. Let the human body teach us some things. I love that. Holmes uses those three words, assimilation, elimination, and circulation. He uses those in lots of prayers. If you read this thing called you, you will see those three words come up again and again and again. So you can see that he had embodied such an understanding of the way the law works in very physical terms that it's important for us to do that. And I can never remember those three terms. Sometimes I'm talking with a client and I'll say, oh, Holmes has the perfect words. If only I could remember them. So I created a little way that I'm gonna remember them. We'll see how it works. Assimilate, eliminate, and circulate. AEC. AEC. Ack. 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 No, don't change the talk. I got the cat. I cannot go forward if you think of it better. Do you think I didn't think of that already and try it out? You gotta get the thing. Ack. Right? Ack. All right, AEC, assimilate, eliminate, circulate, ick. So it's like vacuuming. I don't like vacuuming at all. But you know what I love about vacuuming is when you're done and you're winding the cord up, I don't like those bag vacuums. I want to see that ick, right? And so I like the container that I can take out and I can feel really, oh, look at all this dirt that's not on the floor anymore. And I can dump it out and wipe it and put it back in. That's a vacuum I like, right? I want to see it and get rid of it because it feels good to know you're getting rid of it. It's like a clogged drain. Why does it feel so good to unclog a drain? You know, well, I have a theory. I think that the reason it feels good is because we are dislodging something that is blocking a natural flow, and there is something innate within us that desires to have that experience of that natural flow. And so anywhere in life where we are cleaning up our act, we are having that opportunity. I mean, you can just breathe better, right? You clean a drain and you can just breathe better. I have a new toy. It's a magic toy. It has magical powers. I bought it on Amazon. It only cost about $5. I got three of them. You know what it is? It's plastic. It's bright orange. I'm showing it to you because I want you to get a visual that you can have an image in your mind when you need to clean out something that is clogged up, and you will see how easy and inexpensive it is to do it. And it has magical powers. I didn't pay very much for it. You just take it. You don't even have to take the drain apart. It fits down there. I've done it already. This is not the one I done it with. I left that dirty one at home. And you stick it down there, and then it's a little tricky, but then you pull it up, and we will not talk about what it looks like, but you know, you already have an image of what that looks like. So this is a brand new clean one, and it has magical powers, because clogs create problems. So don't say anything out loud, Dorothy. Think for a minute about what it is that's clogging your life. In what way has something, or does it feel like something is in the way of your good? Raise your hand if you have something in mind. That was easy. All right. All right, so who's willing to share? Don't say it, just tell me. Who's willing to share theirs out loud? I'm going to make it real easy for you. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me what it is. Tell me if it's a person, place, or thing.
Thing.
The thing? I can heal you. Would you like to be healed of that?
Yes.
Do you say yes? Do you receive? Bam! You're healed.
Thank you.
It's over.
When will the truck be there?
Person, place, or thing?
Thing.
Would you like to be healed of that? Bam! You are healed of that. Somebody back here, who needs to be healed back here? Okay. What do you got? Person, place, a thing. A thing? Bam! You're healed. You want to be healed? Bam! You didn't say you want to.
I do want to.
Bam! Bam! Person, place, a thing. Bam! You're healed. Who's going to say person? Are you willing to be healed? Bam, you're healed. You all need a magic tool like this. This is not hard, doesn't cost much money. You can order it online. It does incredible things. Bam, you're all healed. No more ugh. Because we understand assimilation, elimination, and circulation. Oh, I had to look at my notes. Oh, well. See how well it works? The founder of this teaching said, he told us, we repeat it probably every Sunday and in most classes I teach. There is a power in the universe. It is a power for good, and you can use it. We have tools, people. We have tools. This is a symbol for something that removes all the clogs in your life. It is a symbol for prayer. Ernest Holmes said that the powerful words of prayer will neutralize the problem. And so let's not have any ick. We don't need it. We've got tools. We've got classes. We have community. We have this glorious way we join together to remember the truth that there is a power and we have access to it, and we become so powerful when we stand in that truth. Are you in?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray on it. Oh, all right, all right, all right, all right. So let's have the practitioners stand. Ministerial, other ministers, ministerial interns, let's surround this room and let's do what we do best. So we just breathe. And in this quiet moment, we allow all the images that have been shared this morning, even those that we made up in our own minds, we allow ourselves to recognize the power of awareness. And so I sense and I feel and I know that there is that in this very sanctuary that is the fullness of spirit itself. So as we just feel that movement, that radiating through our body, it's like a waking up in the cells of our being. We feel the love of God at the very core of all of it. There is not a stronger force in the universe than God. In fact, we say that God is love. So we stand in this essence of love. I feel the love of God moving through my body at this very moment, knowing that there is this glorious law of circulation that eliminates all things that are not needed. And so we release, we let go, we open our hands, we quit hanging on so that we can sense that, yes, we are finite beings, but greater than that, we are divine. That we are in that circle of love that is God, and that we cannot be removed from it. And nothing and no one can be against us because we have these tools, we have this knowledge, this awareness, and we use it in a positive way. And we remind each other that it is never hopeless, that there is no need for despair of any kind because we are powerful beyond our imagination. And indeed, there are conditions in life. There are experiences that we move through. And yet, no matter how dark it may seem, the fullness of love, the presence of God, is always right where we are. And as this is true for our own lives, we remember again that this is true of all of life. Every living thing sheds, and every living thing breathes and moves and has its being in God. And so, as we feel the power of these words, as we recognize that we can learn spiritual truth through humor and fun and laughter and love, We have this tremendous opening, our souls, our consciousness. There's this opening, so there's something stretching and growing, and it's our own recognition of this life that we live, this life that has been given us to live. And so I feel that love of God. I feel it in the movement of the blood coursing through my body. I know that it's the air breathing my lungs. I know it is that divine kiss of life. And I remember again how blessed we are. And so where there is any appearance of physical ailment, we know where to look for instructions, and we know who to ask for prayer. But we know more than that, that there is a perfection within us. There is the indwelling presence of God in every cell of our body, in every organ, in every molecule of our being. Pure God that knows how to heal us, that knows how to remove obstacles and clogs, that knows how to live us in the most exquisite divine way. So I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, Infinite Spirit. I just feel that gratitude as a quickening of the reality in which we open ourselves to receive in this very moment. I release the words of this prayer, and together we say, and so it is. Amen. Amen.